material of Bible school, the anointing of abundance and excess. Chorus, the glory. Lesson 5. The purpose of the spiritual law of sowing and reaping in connection with obedience to the Lord. The basic verse of this message is taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Repeating the main points of lesson 4. The natural laws of physics is a mirror image of the spiritual laws, and they are in power and influence under the spiritual laws. The spiritual law of sowing and reaping is the law which is dominated by any kind of seed, both the curses and the blessings. The spiritual law of sowing and reaping is the law according to which the rules of the whole spiritual world operates. We noted some important points related to the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. The first point, the author of this spiritual law is God. He is the one who approved it and brought it into movement. Second, it is God who has subordinated the entire creation to the law, both in the spiritual and in the natural physical world. And the last point, no creation can refuse or cancel or complement this spiritual law. When humans obeyed the law and the rules of electricity, a result of receiving light is not a measure of obedience to the Creator. Any physical feature of the law approved by God show that they are impartial and work for everyone who uses them by their rules. Success in the physical world through the application of physical laws does not mean the obedience to the Lord. God established for both the physical and the spiritual world a number of hard-hitting laws as a permanent expression of His grace to all. These laws work for everyone, everywhere. And one of the rules of the law, which we know from Scripture, is the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. The spiritual law of sowing and reaping works for both believers and unbelievers always and everywhere. If something you had learned in the Scriptures works for you, does not mean that you are obedient to the Lord directly. A 100-fold harvest as the application of the spiritual law of sowing and reaping is not an indicator of obedience to the Lord Jesus. It is the result of obedience to the rules of the spiritual law. 100 or 60-fold, any harvest is an indicator of the spiritual work of the impartial law and the written word of God and God's faithfulness to His promises. This indicates that the spiritual law of sowing and reaping works for everyone who will apply it under the rules for it. The spiritual law of sowing and reaping is no respecter of persons. As in the reverse case, you cannot have 100-fold or even 5 times harvest and thus be obedient to God. And some have created in this the extreme measure, saying, to be obedient to the Lord, we cannot strive to the harvest when sowing. Attention! The absence or presence of harvest from the planted seed does not mean obedience to the Lord. Any harvest without obedience to the Lord will be the consequences of not a blessing. Harvest obtained through the application of the spiritual law of sowing and reaping without direct obedience to the Lord becomes an occasion for deception emanating from his mind. A soul directed by worldly wisdom tends to multiply vanity. It is obvious there are two extremes. One, after gathering the harvest, leads to the side. The other, do not want to talk about the harvest. An important question. What is the purpose of the spiritual law of sowing and reaping in connection with obedience to the Lord? The answer to this question we learn in this lesson. Now, introduction. Continuing the first lesson, we will talk about what is not obedience to the Lord and what is the purpose of the spiritual law of sowing and reaping in obedience to the Lord. God placed man on the earth. God did not put him in a world without rules and laws. On earth, all the power of the laws acted accordingly to the established rules of God. Man, as the representative of God on earth, it was necessary not to violate the laws and regulations, but using them in harmony over the control and carrying out God's tasks. This does not depend on the natural physical world, but its influence from the spiritual world to create in it God's will. The spiritual law of sowing and reaping is for the implementation of the Will of God. Part 1. The spiritual law of sowing and reaping is a tool. For example, a person was hired as a gardener, and he was given a list of things he needs to do. He carefully reviews the list, and he determined which tools he will need, and by checking, he starts to work. As we can see, it is not a tool that determined the work that needs to be done, but the list of work determined by the owner of the garden and an essential tool for the work was selected. Tools are needed to perform certain tasks. Knowing the job, the gardener can easily determine the list of necessary tools and applies them specifically for the task and not the other way around. The owner of the garden gave the task, and he had already given all the necessary tools to perform the task. Attention! The spiritual law of sowing and reaping is God's approved spiritual instrument. There is an attitude which should be of the born again to a spiritual law. The spiritual law of sowing and reaping implements the grace of God to man for the multiplication of seed, as it is an undeserved and unearned by man. Another example, a person was hired as a timber truck driver, and he was given the task to carry the logs in the woods prepared at the sawmill, and he was also allowed to take home how much logs he wanted. Given the task, he was told that they would check him in 4 months. After the bus left, the driver was approached by one of the long-time workers in the company, and he said, "In the forest, the wood will be enough for 10 years. First take home, sell as much as possible, and still, you will have time to go to the sawmill." Having said that, they decided to betray the driver and attribute to him the entire shortage in which they are guilty. Question: what will you say to this man who all through 4 months will carry logs to his home and for sale, and only one or more times he will be at the sawmill? You judge him. It is theft. He took advantage of his official position. Someone may say, but he was deceived. Yes, the Bible says in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge." And also, in Hosea chapter 4, verse 14, "Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall." ignorance in relation to the mission of the spiritual law of sowing and reaping is not an excuse for the citizens of the kingdom of God. The spiritual law of sowing and reaping is a spiritual tool given by God to the spiritual creature, man, for the adoption of all necessities for life and fulfillment of God's tasks in the physical world. Also, the goal of spiritual law is clearly visible through the following example. A member of the covenant with God can use his car for himself and for his family and has all rights for it. And of course, his family will be grateful to him. And the mind will periodically reinforce such action with the verse of the scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. But the mind will not say that the Lord, in the first place, is the head of the family. He is at the head of the human race. He is the father and mother of all born again. He is the first of all, and then all the rest. And also, he has a request associated with his car. The spiritual law of sowing and reaping, it is the law through which the Lord is ready to transfer for his subjects all things to a common task for all born again, which are all to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth, was carried out. The spiritual law of sowing and reaping is to promote obedience to the Lord and not otherwise. This law is not a form of obedience. And now, the final summarizing example. God, by His Spirit, has given a task to born again, and to implement it, He will need a lot of finance. One who receives the task may acquire finances by one of the following ways. Still, work a lot to earn money, to borrow, to take a loan, or to sow the seed of God and believe in the supernatural provision for the job. Question: in which variant is it possible to perform a task without depending on the impacts of the cursed world? Only in the last variant, that the born again will not depend on the world, and hence Satan will not have legal access to the task. Many called by God could not continue the implementation of the call because of not knowing how to take the provisions to perform tasks in the call. Many born again, knowing that they are blessed by God, do not know how to take the provision for life in blessings. Based on the foregoing, this may be perfectly legitimate question. How does obedience to the Lord in finances look? Part 2. Sowing and offering. Sowing. Briefly, let us mention the main points that are important to know about sowing. First, sowing is done by faith only on the basis of Scripture. The promise of God from Scripture manifests to a sower on the basis for his action. For example, a member of the covenant with God had read the words in the covenant of the Lord in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken over, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be given to you again." And he decided to become a performer, not only to the reader. Therefore, it is obvious to us that sowing is obedience to the written word in the covenant of God. As it is written in James chapter 1, verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Second, while sowing, it's not very necessary to receive from above the desire of the Holy Spirit, you are doing what is written in the promise, because it is the truth that you believe in. When you sow, you do not need to wait for the desire. You are doing what is true and make it true. In the case of sowing, you can really sow as much as you want and where you want. After you've heard the word of faith about sowing from the pulpit. But when you sow, it is better to know in what kind of soil is best for you to sow. We will talk further. So, the first important difference between sowing and offerings is you choose what you need to multiply and sow, and God gives the multiplication of the seed sown. Third, sowing must be done daily and planned. It must necessarily be daily and purposeful. If the participant of the covenant with God has no purpose on top of the existing one, he does not think about the need for the steady and purposeful use of the supernatural spiritual law. The fourth, to make sowing effective, you need practical and consistent knowledge of the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. So, let us note the highlights. To sow is to be doers of the word and not hearers only, but to be obedient to the Lord directly. Sowing does not matter. Donation. Now, briefly about donation. We read the Word of God addressed to the participants of the covenant with Him in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet he have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Not tithe as an offering. And in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 9, in tithes and offerings, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. It is amazing that God says that those who compose with Him in the covenant, robbing Him in offerings, and says they sacrifice par with the tithe. And as He said that, if a participant of the covenant does not bring Him offerings and says they sacrifice par with the tithe. And as He said that, if a participant of the covenant does not bring Him offerings, which He says, on the party of the covenant comes a curse. What is an offering on the basis of Scripture? We read carefully the following verse, Exodus chapter 25, verse 1 to 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that gave it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye take of them, gold and silver and brass. From this verse, we also note some important truths that reveal to us the essence of the offerings to the Lord. Truth 1. Exodus chapter 25, verse 1. And the Lord spake, it was not the desire or plan for Moses and Aaron, it was an indication the sacrifice comes directly from God's Spirit. Truth 2. Exodus chapter 25, verse 2. That they bring me an offering. God marked who should be the focus of attention when they make offerings, and on whom they must look after they will make it. Truth 3. Exodus chapter 25, verse 2. Of every man that giveth it willingly. The word willingly in this verse says that it should not be a simple operation and accompanied by the preparation of an offering, a prayer for the offering, festive attire, and joyful state of mind. Truth 4. Exodus chapter 25, verse 3. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass. From this verse, it is clear that it is God, not Moses, nor the people, nor the parties to the covenant, determined what they had to bring as an offering. Attention! In the light of the verses of Scripture, it is obvious that the peculiarity of an offering to the Lord was the fact that the participants of the covenant did not do this action on their personal desire and did not make an offering when they wanted, nor they did give something to show pity. No. Offering, it was an action in obedience to all the details the Lord told to the participants of the covenant. It is how much and where to bring an offering. It is God who decides, not the one bringing. That made offerings special, both for the bearer and for God. The offering is made to the Lord and not to men, nor to the ministry, but the Lord determines how much and to whom. He defines it and He disposes them. The offering is His request. Through the offering, the bringer expressed direct obedience to the Lord. This was the highest value of offering for the one bringing. So offering is also considered as a precious sacrifice to God. Actually, that is why it becomes one of the reasons for the application of the word offering in relation to sowing, which often used with the word voluntary, saying, voluntary offering. Then, everything was mixed up with the sowing and offering and replaced by a single word, donation. But it cannot be. Attention! The offering is being done due to the fact that there was a call from the pulpit. Yes, God can say to make a sacrifice to Him at this moment. But the offering is preceded by the word of the Holy Spirit in the spirit of man, how much and where to bring. But due to the fact that the teaching about the separate sowings was stopped, members of the covenant mixed offering and sowing into one, creating problems for themselves without getting the results promised by God, as based on the offering and on the basis of sowing. Due to the confusion, a lot of theories and discontent in finances began to appear. Offering is not sowing, and sowing is not an offering. They are different in their purpose and in method of formation. If you decide not to sow into the kingdom of God, you are not a thief. But if you disobey what God has told you to bring an offering to Him, you are keeping what God determined for Him. Attention! Before we tell you about the offering to him, God has already given you something that he wants to exploit. The offering. Attention! So take your time to make plans for what is in your hands. Perhaps this is God's transit through you. So, after the Lord, through his Spirit, marked offerings, you know that it belongs to him, since it must be given according to his instructions. In the case of disobedience to what God says, it is regarded as stealing. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 9. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me. Therefore, offering is what a person does, not because he chose to do so, but because he was told to do so by God. So, combining this determination with finances, offering is the amount of money determined by the Lord, not man. Donation or offering of a person is connected with obedience to the Lord. The Lord can say to the participant of the covenant at any time to take a certain amount and bring or send to a specific ministry or person. Given that the participant of the covenant did not prepare it in advance and did not plan to sow this sum, it will be obedience to the Lord in this sum and the action of donation or a sacrifice to the Lord. And now, be especially careful. In the basic offering is obedience to the Lord, not the possible reward. Summary of the fourth and fifth lessons. 1. If something of what you have learned in scriptures and used it and it works for you, it does not mean that you are obedient to the Lord directly. 2. Hundredfold harvest when using spiritual law of sowing and reaping is not an indicator of obedience to the Lord Jesus. It is the result of obedience to the rules of the spiritual law. 3. The absence or presence of harvest you planted with the seed is not talking about obedience to the Lord. 4. To sow is to be doers of the word and not hearers only. But to be a performer is not obedience to the Lord also. And 5. After bringing the offering, the obedience to the Lord was expressed. From the foregoing, it is clear that in the field of finances, only in the donations can be shown direct obedience to the Lord. But a donation is not targeted on harvest expectations.